Here comes the Mardi Gras. This is the second carnival in New Orleans since the storm that changed everything. Changed everything, yeah, except for one thing. This great celebration of life and love and the smiling forgiveness of any need to blow off steam. FEMA should probably grant the city $100 million or so of those lost bureaucratic dollars. Award them to a depleted, demoralized population without any appreciable psychiatric services for the therapeutic value of this grand party. Hey, Washington, we're literally saving lives here. The depression, the day-to-day miasma, the sharp tempers and intolerance brought on by unrelenting stress, all these fall away under New Orleanians' deep and heartfelt ties to their annual dose of sanity therapy. There's a difference in the tourist experience and that of the locals. And rather than you hear me describing that experience, here are some of the people at the heart of Carnival talking about what happens on Fat Tuesday. Craig Klein is trombonist for the Storyville Stompers Brass Band, which leads the thousand-strong Society of St. Anne in a parade that defies creative boundaries.
We prepare all year long. It's kind of like the Mardi Gras Indians, I think. You know, it's in its way, it can be compared to that. These guys make their costumes, they sew and they glue and they do everything for many weeks ahead of time. And it builds up to this big crescendo on Mardi Gras Day where we meet at Bud Rips in the Bywater. And like Wesley said, when the momentum gets started, the band takes off and we go down the street. Next thing you know, all of these people are just sort of filtering behind the band and in the band and around the band, and these big streamers are streaming everywhere and the colors are just really bright.
And then there are the little-known but incredibly revered Mardi Gras Indians, many of whom lived in abject poverty even before the storm, who still mask in elaborate feathered and sequined suits to sing and march carnival to the backstreet neighborhoods where they live. It is a century-old tradition. Big Chief Monk Boudreaux is a prime example.
Well, I mostly have my son, my grandchildren, you know, because I'm mostly about the kids because they keep the tradition going, because they into it and they down into it. Like when I was coming, my dad, you know, he was doing it and I got involved in it, you know, when I was like 12, 13 years old. And but, you know, like we bring the kids out now, soon they born, you know, when they get out, because my little granddaughter, she was only like, I think she was like 7 weeks old when they brought her out.
Big Chief Larry Bannock of the Golden Star Hunters tells his story.
My crowning glory is when one of them old people meet you on the porch and that old lady say, baby, you pretty. When you look at the ghetto, people back here, they seen death, they seen poverty, they seen everything. And just for a few hours, you their crowning glory. And it's like when you take the little children back from back here out, you make sure everybody get back home. We came as a family, we coming back as a family. And the ones that drunk or whatever, you make sure they get home. It's like one thing, all of them are a part of you. That's your family that moment. Oh yeah, you the big chief. But the big chief is not nothing without his people behind him.
And that's the carnival you'll never see on the nightly news. The carnival that keeps us sane after all this madness. I'm Jim DeBoer.